this podcast, we're going to travel in fantastic animation generated by your own imagination in your brain. And we're going to travel to a real alien world, which is actually inside you. So we're going to go on an adventure using the power of your own imagination. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a cheapskate and haven't actually gone to... I'll direct you to YouTube's, which show you some of the animations later on. But for the moment, we're going to go inside. And in general, you're not going to come away with a textbook understanding, which will get you high marks in a test, but it'll perhaps get you interested to the amazing world that's inside and set you up asking questions. So typically, in your textbook world at school, you'll be taught about cells. And I can reel off the basic facts about cells. There's the discovery of cells by looking in a microscope, and you look at a microscope and hey presto, there are cells there. Cells there were, and there's part of the history, someone, I think Hooke, the inventor of the microscope, looked at cork and saw the individual cell walls without any of the cell features and said, hey, they look like prison cells, and that's how they've been called cells. Then we come up a little bit more history in school and give you cell theory, and basically it's got many facts to it. I can't remember the order of it, but it's basically anything that's alive is a cell so far. We found nothing which is alive which isn't a cell. And cells have their origin in other cells. So a cell at a particular point in time will stop and make a copy of itself. There's a bit of making a cell diagram or copying down a cell picture in your book and learning the actual little bits and pieces. So an animal cell has got a cell membrane. It's rather soft. It's got the nucleus. It's probably got mitochondria. It may have, depending on how your teacher draws things, the endoplasmic reticulum. And I'll give a bit of a story about, perhaps in another podcast, about how you can actually teach this so students will not forget it. The endoplasmic reticulum will have the smooth and the dotted ones with something called ribosomes on it. You'll be told they're important. I'm not going to go into it too much. Then you'll be told, look, there's the goggly apparatus. That's also important. And you'll be, I think it's ribosomes, a few other features. Then you have to remember that's an animal cell that's soft and squishy. And the other type of cell, which you also have to remember, is a plant cell. That's got a cell wall. But sometimes they tend to forget the fact that there is also a cell membrane stuck to the inside of the cell wall. Then it will have the nucleus. It will have, typically, though, only... plant cells which are doing photosynthesis have it. It'll have chlorophyll cells. So mitochondria in animals, one a single one in animal cells, and chlorophyll in plant cells, and also have a I think it's called a vacuole, a large area in which the plant stores water, and it can pump its internal swimming pool full of water to make the plant rigid. This is why leaves and plant cells are rigid, part of because they've got the cell walls, the cell walls made of cellulose, and they also have the liquid inside it. And you might do a test with a piece of celery. I think in the salt water will go a bit floppy as the water gets pulled out of it. You'll do a few things. You'll be told about osmosis. That's the way food moves in cells, osmosis, and you'll do a few experiments which will convince you that's the major way food moves in cells, by diffusion. You might do a experiment by putting a Smartie on a piece of blotting paper and putting a bit of water and saying, oh, look, see, the food just moves out. Now, obviously, I'm going to give you a bit more of what we've discovered since the 1970s, in the 1980s, and 90s at least, will just absolutely blow your brain. And it is, in fact, your brain which I'm going to use to step up your imagination. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. And at this section, I give a general outline, which you can tune out, about how I'm slowly building up my skills in podcasting. So if you pick an early podcast and a more recent podcast, you'll see the actual presentation skills. My brain just gets used to, oh, I'm going to do 3 podcasts a day. I better just absorb information. And in just the background, I'll be just cooking dinner or doing the basic rehab stuff you do. And you'll hear your brain clicking, you know, different parts of your brain clicking over saying, oh, well, I'll do that, I'll do this. And in this one, I decided, look, cells are just fantastic. We'll have to tell people how they really work, because they're full of quantum mechanics and stuff like that. I really want to tell people about that. And then I said, how are we going to do that? Well, we've got to give them an experience, so we'll put them in a little spaceship and fly them into cells. This is a bit of a giveaway of going on. Then I thought a bit about, how come I know so much about cells? And even biologists and people I ask, they've got specialised interests, but they don't have the general understanding. So I'll be find someone who's selling DNA coding machines, a DNA forensic scientist, and say, how do you know about this aspect? And they'll have a limited but very rich understanding of the development of things like CRISPR technology, which I absolutely love, and this is something I get told off. So just to give you an idea, in school we'll do gene technology, and the gene technology people will standardly teach in their class will be, I don't know, of the 70s and 80s, and not knowing that we're supposed to go back there, tell them about the latest CRISPR and cloning. And people, when they're correcting the exam, they say, well, you can tell your kids they're talking about this CRISPR. Who knows anything about CRISPR? Of course, it's really, really fascinating stuff. And you've picked up in general, we have to feed a very generic, testable, provable technique that we can give to all students. They can learn relatively easy, produce relatively easy, and move on. And that it's got me to think in terms of on two aspects approaching the knowledge. I'm what's quoted as transdisciplinary. I've got maths and biology and teaching and other things popping around in my head, and I have a transdisciplinary approach. I tend to set up an imagination scenario inquiry where we try and get students to access resources and society and build their knowledge into a transdisciplinary approach, i.e. it starts to cross disciplinary boundaries. Then thinking about that, there's actually a fundamental conflict between the emergence and support of transdisciplinary teaching and your standard textbook teaching, which is the core, the bread and butter of what we do. And so thinking about this, if you can bumble along being ignorant of it all, I promise this is the end of this little section before we actually get back into the actual take-home messages and experience of a cell. But it's all okay until are an experience and people start ganging up on you and bullying you and all this stuff. It's like, what's going on here? And it would be easy to be thrown out, but transdisciplinary again, I've had, basic military and intelligence training where people ganging up on you and deciding not to, not make your day unpleasant is sort of the bread and butter. That's the sort of nature of still being operationally efficient in a environment which is not going your way, and you just sit back and quietly gather intelligence, pluck out and work out things going your way. And so part of this is realizing that there's this industrialized textbook way of teaching things, which are very limited with adherence to it, and there's going to be conflict as you get into the transdisciplinary side, and there's not going to be necessarily an environment where you can actually develop your transdisciplinary teaching in a school, and it means that when you get up to podcasting, that transdisciplinary thing can flower away. And so I suppose a lot of the audience listening to me might be interested if they're school kids, but there would be teachers there, hopefully listening out there, or scientists listening out there saying, oh, hang on, this is gathering a lot of information together. And one of the things, the revelations I've had in transdisciplinary stuff is that the channel of book learning or rigorous building up of ideas is actually taken by book learning. You have to look at other paths using imaginations and a brief level of take-home ideas. So, say, I've just done a podcast on plutonium-238. I've given some structures there of uranium, neptunium, plutonium. I've had a little bit of a discussion of isotopes, and that's enough, a bit of an idea, a bit of the take-home messages. So it's a sort of a high-level disciplinary stuff, and I've used people's imaginations to teach things, rather. And that's something you can develop over time by reading a textbook. You read a textbook and then you stop and you imagine things. But if you just get a student and fear and a textbook, the imagination learning that you do doesn't actually happen necessarily with the students. So that's the end of that sort of unfortunate lecture which I've put on onto you, but that's a part of the structure, where I introduce, give in something that you know, give you an idea of where we're going. Ben Hill explains where I give the sort of the administrative background explanation. So, say, if this was a lecture, I'd be pointing out where the fire exits are and when lunchtime is. And then after that's all sorted, everyone knows that they can escape and when lunch is going to be, then they can. That's all sorted, and the mobile phones are off. We can dim the lights in your lecture theatre. So in your case, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And though I've stolen the thunder of that we're going to go into the cell, where I'm going to pretend I haven't done that and put you inside. The lights are now dimmed. We're now going in to a transdisciplinary learning experience, I hope. So imagine that we are now in a spaceship, a high-tech spaceship, and you and I are having a discussion. And we're looking out the windows here, and we're flying across, and we're flying in deep, dark space. And beneath us is a planet. The planet, it looks like a large bag of water. It's sort of oscillating a bit. It looks liquid, but it's definitely solid on the surface. And what we're going to do is we have a discussion and say, well, let's orbit it a bit. We orbit it, look all around. It looks fairly uniform on the outside. And we notice that there's a lot of other of these floating out there, but this one's the one we're going to orbit on. And we decide that we're going to land on the surface of it. And we've landed the spacecraft. We're staying inside the spacecraft because there's air out there. But you can sort of feel from the way that the aircraft land, it's a bit like landing on a waterbed. If you've ever been into the 1970s and 80s, you probably experienced a waterbed. Now, modern people probably never have experienced what a waterbed is, but it's this like sitting. There's been things in playgrounds where it's a big membrane, you jump on it, it's full of air. But a waterbed's the closest to it. So we decide to sit there, and we can see through the surface a little bit, and we notice there's a little bit of activity happening underneath us. Let's have a check out what's going on, and we begin to sink in it, and our view of space reduces until there's just a tiny little hole that's gone. And what's happened is that we have fallen through the membrane. We've dropped it to the membrane, and the membrane has formed around us. And I've forgotten the name of that process that we've just been through. Could be cytokinesis, it's cell eating. That's how a cell eats. A cell doesn't eat by a big set of jaws going up like that, because the mouth opens, all the cell would squirt out. So how it eats is the things sit on its surface, and the membrane goes around the outside, encompasses it all, and then fills it in. Now, you're inside there, obviously, there's a bit of water, in our case, space on the outside in this bubble. So we're now inside. A cell has built a cell around us and included, look, there's a word for it, for the way cells eat. So you'll have to look it up. Type into Google cell eating. I've been just doing this off the top of my head, so I haven't actually stored all the information, rehearsed myself, gone through, through all of it. So we've actually begun to be the way, like most nutrients and bits that the cell wants inside it. You know, the cell is pretty fussy. If it doesn't like it, it gets rid of you. If it likes you, it will welcome you inside by eating you. And the way the cells eat is this process. There's a piece of information you didn't get in your textbook about how cells actually do eat. I think majority of people would believe that cells only eat by diffusion. That is, that the you've got a waterproof barrier and a whatever-proof barrier on the outside, but somehow molecules eventually can actually just ram themselves through and appear on the opposite side. So you should try that the next time. You're trying to get into a house, just sort of start running up against the wall, and eventually you'll come through. Or you can't open a door, but what actually happens is the wall encases you, builds itself around, and lets you in the inside. Now, if the cell wants to do anything to you, it'll drag you about the place. Right, your little bubble there. How are you going to be dragged about the place? It will say, if it wants to digest you, it'll walk up, and you'll suddenly see part of your cell wall open up, your inner cell wall open up, and a bit of digestive juice will be squirted at you, and that will be curtains for you. Okay, so in this idea, I'm actually using the power of imagination and the idea of putting you in places rather than just describing it intimately. So this is a bit of a dangerous situation. But for the moment, we have broken through free, and we're floating around as a little dot in a cell, a tiny little dot in the cell. And so this is, my goodness, we have actually landed in a planet, and we are small, but we know that there's a scale problem here, because each one of us is made up of a trillion, so that's a million, million cells. There's a million, million of these in us, as many stars as there are in the galaxy, or more. There's more cells than us than there are stars in the galaxy. Just get that into your head. That's pretty amazing stuff. But there's a scale imbalance somehow I've shrunk you down, and I've put you on the surface of a cell, and that's called cinematic license, CGI, full CGI of your own imagination. And so that's a fundamental trick. Of course, teachers would have to point this out, and I'm only just pointing it out to point out that I would have pointed it out. Okay, you're inside. Meaning to float inside the cell, and you say, that's easy. What's going to happen is I'm going to have a clear view of the following parts, and you bring up your school diagram. You've got the nucleus, the endoplasmic reticulum, the ribosomes, the mitochondria, the goggly apparatus, ribosomes, they're all just floating, and there's something called centronomes, and they're all just floating around. So just check what it looks like, and we go outside. So what you're expecting to see is clear liquid, the liquid, this water inside the cell, and these structures. Except, you do remember that in the diagram, you don't label the inside of a cell as just water, even though you believe it's just water. You call it cytoplasm. That is thing, plasm, a thing. Cyto means cell. So cells are full of cell things. And 1980s or 1970 beyond, you just that would be enough. You look at it and you say, "About oh, perhaps it could be a bit more jelly-like." Yeah, obviously, if it's liquid, things would be going around. If it's a bit more jelly-like, you can imagine putting in jelly because you've got a. Often you make a cell model at school where you put in various things like a Malteser for the nucleus and you set it in jelly. And if you do this, you discover a few diffusion facts of your own. Like if you use a jelly baby in jelly, the jelly baby will expand to enormous proportions. Hideous zombie. Yeah, if you want to make a jelly baby into a zombie, you just get some jelly. And while it's setting, beginning to set, you set one level of jelly, put in a jelly baby in, and put the next layer of jelly in with the jelly baby in, and the jelly baby will absorb water, decompose, and expand about three times its size, erupt from the surface of the jelly as a hideous zombie, and taste absolutely disgusting. I've done that once. I thought, well, that's one of the things you do if you try and make up a model swim. And getting back, so what do we see? Okay, now what I've done is that predict, observe, explain. Part of Australian education research, proven, easily explained, easily taught, never done. So I'm going to get you to predict what you see out the window, and now we're going to observe it. Okay, this is a bit unfair because it's actually fully imagination. When you observe it, you see this incredible set of... It's like the inside of a house building, you know, before the walls have been put on. These girders are just going left and right and crossing and interlinking and forming in basically... internal bed springs. It's this set of girders, and that's just incredible. They're girders, so I'm going to give you now the word for the girder, so I can start using it and get the right term. They're called microtubules. And they're made of tubulin, and I don't know, 17 or some odd number of these Lego block tubulins come together rapidly, as if by magic, and form these girders at high speed inside a cell. If a cell wants one, it lays one down. And there's also these other thinner bits of twisted rope, two braids of twisted rope. It's called a microfilament, and beneath there you've got a single piece of twisted rope called a filament. Now, it's taken a lot of working out to see these things, and a lot of technology has come since 1970 in terms of we've got these fantastic things. Obviously, millions of scientists working on this night and day around the world, but we've got fantastic laser microscopes which now have hundreds of times resolution higher than before, and quantum mechanics, and we've just got supercomputers, everything throwing at it. While you've been sleeping, the human race has been working hammer and tong at this. Now, I'm going to let you at the moment, if you don't believe it, you can go to a site called, where it's been put together, and it's a couple of years old, The Inner Life of Cells by Harvard Group. Look, I'm just going off the top of my head. It's called The Inner Life of Cells. Go there on YouTube and have a look at it. There's also what is this? Besides the inner life of cells, there's the, I think it's bioinformatics. Look, I really can't remember. This is just off the top of my head as it goes podcast, where I've tried to actually achieve some things educationally, not going through. So educationally, let's stop at this point in time. The cell has got a membrane. It eats by this cyto process of eating. I'll have to remember the name of it. It eats by swallowing it. And you look inside, and it's full of microtubules. That's the important thing. It's absolutely chock-a-block. Now, there are so many of this, and they are pretty strong, flexible. They actually give us the cell its jelly-like structure. So if you were to open up a cell, the liquid would drain out, but its jelly would drop out. So the sort of closest thing I can say to it, if you break open an egg, you see the yolk in a membrane, that's good, and you see another, the white runs out, and there's another sort of membrane holding in there, and it's a bit jelly-like. And jelly has got that structure as well. In fact, cells are, in actual fact, full of jelly, this microtubules. And the microtubules, if you look at them, are made of these Lego box things, these tubulin, alpha and beta, if I can remember off it. They've got a beautiful self-organizing structure. And you can have different grades of them. I've forgotten the numbers and different structures of them, but they're general. So you can have big, thick ones and small ones. And these are pretty massive. And so that's how the bits and pieces of the cell just don't ram into each other. So you can imagine setting up your cell as your living room with different things, you know, the round table in the centre being the nuclei and other things, the rug, and then cells just don't sit around. They get shaken to bejesus. So the entire thing stays into shape. You've got these little rods going back and forth, holding everything in place. So that's very good. I'll try. Yep. So that was the doctors phoning up to see if I can get my INR checked today, which is my blood thinning ratio. So I really want to have that checked, so I'll have to do that. Sorry for interrupting him. So this is live. So I'll see how I can get that done. So just an aside thing, I'm actually having to eat a certain amount of rat poison to keep my aircraft apart. So what has happened is I've had a faulty, my version of a heart wasn't good enough, and so they've cut out the old valve and put in an aircraft part. Part of an aircraft part keeping that going smoothly is I have to eat a certain amount of rat poison, and I have to check my levels, and the sort of the doctors are checking that I'm eating enough rat poison. I've been a good person, so we're stopping there. That's a bit of a cell story, and of course that's meant that I've taken a break, and perhaps I'm a better talk because the doctors have cut me open and put a piece of high technology. Has that changed me into a high technology person? But let's get back into it. So we're getting in there, we're inside the cell, and so let's motor along. How can we possibly motor along? Well, we can motor along the cell using the force of imagination. Using imagination force, we can get a little bubble of cell membrane, which we're in, and move along. But before we move along, we see a big sac moving through a gap in these girders. These girders are like square. I've got these square gaps, and it's like one of those big old skyscrapers. Like I remember in the 1970s when they made skyscrapers, they built the entire iron frame first, and so you had this huge iron frame up. So it's like this iron frame, except this is microtubulin, and there's this big sac coming down towards us. This is not good news. And this sac is obviously a sac of some sort of liquid, and we're going to call the sac a vesicule. Okay, it's picking up names all the time, and Something's moving this sack, and you get your telescope, your magnification, and you look in and you say, I don't believe it, because there's, from the vesicle to the microtubulum is a piece of twine, a single helical filament going down, and that is sticking to the microtubule. Okay, that's reasonable, but the problem is it's moving. So you increase the magnification even further, and you look, and at the end of the rope is a set of mechanical feet going plod, 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 unless it's doing it. It's being fed by the energy food of the cell, plodding through, and this is moving a vesicle, a piece of stuff around the cell. And I think we might leave it there, not go on too far, because as you can see, I've got to go off and get things organised. But these vesicles, this is inside the cell, and pretty much everything else which happens inside the cell is organised by these vesicles, these micro these filaments, and the term for these filaments is kinesine, K-I-N-S-I-N-E, means basic motion things. So there's a variety of different motion things. There's I don't know how, it's a little, it's like your little Uber driver. So the cell calls these things up and puts them on the microfilaments and moves around. And so the inside of your cell, the actual inside of you, we've actually gone and flown inside your belly button, so to speak, and looked at a cell. Inside the cell is a completely alien world full of nanomachines, bursting with nanomachines. And it's not just one. There are, I'd say, millions of them, these little things inside your cell, or if not thousands, moving things around the entire time. So once your cell produces a protein, it pops inside one of these vesicles and actually gets physically moved from point A to point B. It's very sophisticated inside there. It's a true, full-on alien world. So I'll come back and talk a bit about more about the actual microtubules on steroids, so to speak. Well, they're not on steroids, but when it comes to times when the cell says, that's it, I've finished my job here, now I'm going to make myself double it. I like myself so much, I'm going to double myself. So we'll get into that aspect. But I suppose the take-home message here, the other take-home message here is that it couldn't be more inauthentic to teach people about cells. I think you have to teach them about the paper diagram of the cells, the first lesson. But not to go on and tell them about the alien world and nanomachines buzzing alive, just to say, oh, I'm not sure about that. Oh, that's an interesting article. I can't really read that. It's really inauthentic to actually not mention that. And it is mind-blowing to see just the mechanics, the doors opening and shutting, things moving, cells themselves moving as they build girders inside them, or build the ropes and actually pull ropes across. It's the most amazing thing. Of course, the way that they pull a rope is that they connect a rope from A to B and then start shortening that rope, tightening it up. It's the most amazing thing. And of course, to send timing signals inside the cell, there's no clock, nerves inside the cell. They send out these little walkers which activate things at the same time to coordinate the cell. This is pretty amazing and hard to believe. And so the best thing for you to do is, if you haven't heard of this before, go to the internet and look at the inner life of cells and just absorb some of the amazing things that come along. And if this learning feels unnatural to you, you're probably not learning the transdisciplinary style. So see if you can write down or note some of the basic ideas. cell membranes, cytoplasm, microtubules, kinsan, filaments, and of course the structures of the standard structures of the cell I've talked about before, and the way that cells eat by wrapping their membrane around things. Okay, look, thank you very much, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.